I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast Week 14 Ranks. Brandon Funston here. I am Chris Welsh. Find us on the Twitters at Brandon Funston for him, not me. Me is it the Welsh. And go follow Jake Seeley, All In Kid, because today we're going to be looking at Jake's ranks that are available over at the Athletic, which if you do not have a subscription, you know what to go do. Still some deals that are floating out there, so go and sign up. But we're going to be breaking down some of the core pieces of his ranks and where the differing happens. And Brandon, you will be doing some of the differing, but you have been a jet wheeling, high flying, limousine riding, traveling man coming back from an athletic conference. I mean, you practically could still be jet lagged. Just want to let everybody know that Brandon was doing big time stuff out in Nashville, and now you're back to talk some football with us.
Yeah, I was talking some baseball, but football was never, you know, only slightly on the back burner for a couple of days. Yeah.
Well, you guys were they're like literally at the like managers meetings for the MLB. So definitely
right,
some
exactly.
MLB. Not even just like, hey, this is a cool fun meeting, but it's like you guys were there at the managers meeting. So that made it
yes,
bigger.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I was out there doing that, but football never goes away. It's ever present. So yeah, so back and ready. I'm a little bit jet lagged. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit haggard right now. My wife's been dealing with a cold, and I almost always get sick every time I fly. So yeah. I'm actually not feeling as bad as I normally do. So we'll take it as a slight win.
Well, then I would suggest not tuning into Thursday night football if you want to feel better. If you want to feel worse, you could watch a Thursday night football game. That's depending when you guys are listening to this, it may have already happened, but that's not the game that you want. You're going to be tuned into this coming weekend, and we're going to talk about a whole lot of the plays, the moves you guys are going to have needed to do. We talked about that in the waivers. So hopefully there's going to be some prep into this and just any of the new notes, because there are a couple interesting ones. So I'm going to throw a couple of us out here. I had a Thursday note, which I'm going to ignore. Three pieces that definitely can have an effect on this weekend before we get into the ranks. Number one, probably the biggest conversation running around Thursday was Brandon Staley with the Chargers head coach. Said that a quote competition for carries is gonna see something that you see happening. And all that means to everybody is no longer are they saying they're gonna give the same workload to Austin Eckler and they're gonna open this up to Josh Kelly. Brandon Staley has made a lot of bad moves this year. This one, I don't know. This one seems like it would be at the tippy top. Like I don't think Austin Eckler hasn't looked great, but you also haven't utilized him in the ways you probably should, give him volume. And you're going up against the literal worst defense on the season against stopping the run. And, you know, a fantasy standpoint, the most fantasy points scored is against the Broncos. And you're going to tell us that we're going to get less Austin Eckler this week? It's a disaster, Brandon.
Yeah, I wonder how much this is just motivational. Hey, we need, you know, all hands on deck. Just go out there and ball out and show out and all that, blah, blah, blah. But Austin Eckler, you probably want him to be a 14 to 15 carry guy at tops anyways. But we know who Josh Kelly is, and he's had an opportunity when Austin Eckler has been hurt before, and he's been a massive dud. And the only way he really seems to work well is when he's playing kind of like that, you know, getting those backup carries and doing, you know, getting those late game carries where he can kind of pad his numbers in a backup role. It seemed to be the best because he's had multiple times where Austin Eckler's been out and he's been given the opportunity. He's been terrible
and failed.
Yeah. I don't think any one of us thinks that Josh Kelly is that good. No. I certainly from a, you know, who do you want in the backfield? You know, the dual threat option of Austin Eckler or Josh Kelly, who is kind of just a ham and egger and doesn't bring a lot of dynamicism to the field. So I think this is going to ultimately be much ado about nothing. I bet you it probably does do a little bit to light a fire under Austin Eckler. But I feel like Austin Eckler always has a fire. And if If he's not doing well, it's more indicative of the team and not Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. But I guess, but I'm also like alluding to, like, you're not wrong. Like, okay, hey, there's motivation, but the coach is going to have the decision. If you're talking about like, oh, there's going to be more of a competition, Austin Eckler has played 9 games this year. He has had more than 15 carries. 4 of those 9 games he has played this year, he has not eclipsed 20 carries all season. And there are a handful of games where he has gone to 15 or less touches. So we're going to give him less? Like, that's the worry. He's already been a questionable matchup recently, probably more moving to like RB2 than an RB1. But like, how do you sparse this out? You hear this piece of news and it's like, yeah, sure, Austin Eckler is better with 15 carries. He's getting 15 carries right now. And if they're going to take it away while you have a great matchup, I mean, is Austin Eckler someone you consider sitting this week in any capacity?
He's RB16 for me.
He's 16.
He's RB17 for Jake. So I'm pretty sure that's right. So yeah,
16. I just must have moved him up at 16. So you guys both have 16
as well. 16. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure he's 100. I don't think he's been 100% healthy since, he had the huge week one game, then he went out. I don't think he's been fully healthy since then. Honestly, I think when you kind of look back at the wash of 2023, we'll find out that Eckler wasn't healthy all year long.
You get one of those reports where it's like, by the way, I played with like a torn UCL and ACL and, you know, had a broken fibula.
Or just like he's had an ankle deal that just never felt right all year or something. But
I guess, these words, I hope they're a lot to do about nothing, but I don't know how much less you can give him. So that's where I kind of struggle a little bit. This is a weird one. Trevor Lawrence practiced on Thursday. I guess these are all weird, but like, I thought Trevor Lawrence was done. I think this must have been the mildest high ankle sprain in the history. The guy could barely walk and he's pushing to play this week. And it looks like there is a chance, at least at that. I ultimately think he won't, but he did practice on Thursday. So, I mean, does this give you maybe a little bit more hope on the Jaguars side if he does play? I don't think we could justify playing him this week because I think isn't it a Monday night game?
It's not. It's a normal early game on Sunday.
Well, you tell me, could you justify playing him if active? And what about the pieces around him?
If he really has a high ankle sprain or even has it just a regular ankle sprain and you're only 1 week removed, you're going to Cleveland in December against Myles Garrett. That to me seems like about the worst place. You know, if you want Trevor Lawrence to just sit back in the pocket and not move around a whole lot and kind of like, you can just get by with his arm or whatever. This is not the game for that at all. So I would, if there's any kinds of odds on this, on whether you play or not, I'd certainly be on the he's not going to play ultimately side.
Super weird one.
I thought he was done too. That's so bizarre that I saw that report that he'd actually practiced. Who knows what he did? You know, Aaron.
Yeah, we know Christian Kirk's out. But I don't know about him. And then the other one is Matt LaFleur with the Packers said that Christian Watson's hamstring, the return will hopefully be sooner rather than later. It's still being treated as this like, well, I don't know about week 14. I feel very confident he's not going to play in week 14. And I love Packers this week, specifically Jaden Reed. Yeah. If Watson were to somehow miraculously play, he's put in a great role, but it just kind of muddies what is. Like, I would love a couple defined guys up against the Giants and thriving instead of having another guy in there. But I don't know if there's anything you read. I fully expect him to be out.
Yeah, I think so, too. And this is just a hamstring, man. He just can't. It's like one step forward, two steps back with this thing, you know, and he's been frustrating. I have him on one team. I drafted him. I didn't want to draft him anywhere, but I was like, OK, everybody's so high on Watson. I should maybe just buy a share. You know, I have him on one team and it's been such a frustrating ride. You know, he couldn't get out there early on. He came in, didn't do nothing. By the time you bench him, he gets, you know, touchdown. And now you start to feel like, okay, things are starting to roll. He's, you know, he had a couple touchdowns last time out. And as soon as you start to feel like you might be able to lean on him down the stretch, it's here we are again, you know.
One other, this is, I guess I've said weird like every single time, but again, it is all odd. There is a litany of not practice players on Thursday. And I do wonder, or, you know, maybe I'm just out speculating this point of the season, Thursdays might become the new Wednesdays, you know, like guys don't practice Wednesday. We're like, don't worry about it. It's all about Friday. Thursdays, we get a little bit dicey, but this late in the season, maybe we should treat it more like Wednesdays because I mean, here are some Lamar Jackson, there was an illness, so we'll put that. Rashid Shaheed, Taysom Hill, all did not practice. Isaiah Pacheco, Breece Hall did not practice. Tyreek Hill, Raheem Mostert, obviously, I think I admit Lamar didn't practice in there. I mean, that's of the Thursday notes that I can find over on RotoWorld. Like, that's a big group of names, none of which I think we speculated were going to have any missed time this coming week. So maybe, are you with me that like maybe we shouldn't read too much into Thursdays, but we should pay attention to Friday for your weekend stuff? But I don't know. Is there one of them that you're maybe more worried about?
No, I mean, only just selfishly, like a Raheem Mostert, to have him pretty much everywhere. And I need to, you know, I need to make sure he gets out there and plays. But yeah, I think, you know, Friday is what we're looking for now. I kind of don't really think that any of those guys will end up sitting. So it's kind of interesting. And, you know, I think the biggie right now is what's going to happen in the Seattle backfield. If Walker or Charbonnet is going to be able to make it out there. If not, you're looking at DJ Dallas in an already fraught situation for the Seahawks in San Francisco. So
not the best matchup in the world that's out there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, let's take a look at the ranks. I'll give you a quick primer on where Jake is at for week 14. Jalen Hurts at the tippy top. Also, going back to back, Dak Prescott. So those two in the same game together. Brock Purdy comes in at 7. Justin Fields in at 8. And Russell Wilson, number 10, ahead of guys like Justin Herbert. And I guess the rest aren't big. CJ Stroud, he actually buried that. That's another one. He buried CJ Stroud down at 14. But those are the ones that you aren't picking apart here. Let's start with where you differ from Jake. And number one, sell me on this, Desmond Ridder. You've got Desmond Ridder in the teens. Jake has got him outside the 20s. I can imagine the first part of the sell, it's a pretty great passing matchup. I mean, Drake London is given one of the best cornerback wide receiver matchups. It's just Desmond Ridder struggles with not throwing at people's ankles. So how do you have him in the teens versus the 20s for Jake?
Yeah, well, he's not always bad. He certainly had some 17 overall finishes, and his three best finishes this year have all been at home. His best road game was against Tampa Bay in terms of fantasy points. So, Tampa Bay, you can't run on them, and that's what the Falcons want to do. So they're going to have to throw the ball. As I mentioned, Ridder showed out decently against the Buccaneers earlier this year. He's been pretty good at home overall, not terrible. And, you know, he faced the Buccaneers last year in week 18 and had a couple touchdown passes against him at home as well. I just think, you know, there's, hits about the Gardner Minshew. You start getting into the Geno at San Francisco, Jameis Winston, against Carolina range. And Ridder has been running the ball a little bit. I like the home matchup. I like what he's done at home. And I just feel like, does he have number 17 QB upside where Jake has him at 23? I feel good about it. You got Kyle Pitts going there. Drake London is going. They're giving Bijan Robinson the ball more and more, and they're using him in the passing game. So, the weapons that we all loved there are now all seem to be properly deployed in a matchup where you the advantage is through the air.
Yeah, and I don't know if I just missed you say it, but like there's a bunch of defensive injuries as well that the Bucs are dealing with. Like there's a litany of players that they might be without, and there's just some guys that are banged up. And really all this comes down to is Ridder's execution, because the matchups play well kind of across the board. And by way, I throw out another week of Bijan Robinson under 20 yards receiving on the prop. I've been back on that two straight weeks. I've been actually last week, I found this interesting stat. Not that anyone's going to care on this. This isn't a betting show, but I was talking about this last week. His receiving yard prop was 17.5. I was telling, let's do the alt receiving yards of 25, because no time, or let's say it differently, every single time Bijan Robinson has cashed his receiving yard prop this season, he has gone 25 yards or more. So if he cashes it, he's going 25 or more. So I was like, let's just play the alt yards and get plus money. And
did you run the alt yards number?
I did. Absolutely. I did. It was 25. What is, and it was like plus, it was like, oh, I haven't done it this week. Last week it was plus 135, 150, something like that. And it's going to be similar because it's only one more yard this week. So the alts is going to be, it's going to be plus money, and it still applies. What I said applies. So this is another one of those games. Cause you, like you said, you can't run against the Bucks. So
no,
if you're going to throw it with Bijan to get him involved, that's exactly what's going to end up happening. And I'm going to play it again, Brandon. I'm going to play it again.
Well, I like Desmond Ritter's 195.5 passing yardage number. He had 250 at Tampa in week 7. I mentioned his three home games against Houston, 329 against Washington, 307, and 237 against Green Bay. So, like, you know, he's been down the last couple weeks, but this is a great matchup. He is at home. So I like, you know, along with the Bijan one, I like that 195.5 for.
Yeah, I think it's sneaky. I think it's sneaky. And we're not talking about you're trying to get him in and be your starter, because this is like the number one spot. But this is more A, you're in a super flex. He's a guy you can get out there. Or B, maybe you are desperate and maybe, you know, you got some bad stuff going on and you need to get someone out there. Maybe he is a guy you can put out there in this desperate situation. Two more you threw out here. I like these.
Well, yeah, I don't know which one you want to talk about. I figure you dealer's choice. So you can
let's decide. Do the Mahomes one. Have Mahomes at one, because I'm in agreement with you here, and you and Jake has him at four. I don't have Jalen Hurts as my number one quarterback this week. I thought he played.
I have this matchup as 1-2, and that, so it basically Mahomes 1, Josh Allen 2. Because we've
I have the exact same thing. And I felt weird. I'm like, am I the weirdo of not jumping on to Jalen Hurts in this situation?
No. And look at, you could play the history card here. These guys have been fireworks every time they've gotten together. Here's another, you know, we're talking the prop situation, 2+ touchdowns from Mahomes and Allen. If you put that as a, you know, same game parlay, it's plus 138. They've played 5 times. And they've hit it every time. They've both thrown for no less than 2 touchdowns every time they've faced. So, I think, you know,
I might be playing that. I like that.
Yeah. And you got a little banged up Isaiah Pacheco, but we know we can throw on the Bills here. Kansas City, not quite as much, but I just think Mahomes, after, you know, a tough loss last week, I think, you know, coming out this week at home, he could be in fuego. I'm feeling the rebound from Pat Mahomes.
I am with you here, and Jake is with consensus. Consensus has, actually, this is an interesting one. I didn't notice this. Dak is the number one, and the consensus ranks out there in the world is the number one quarterback for the week due to the Phillies matchup, in Philadelphia, Eagles, and Phillies.
Yeah. And I dropped him down. I actually dropped him down below Brock Purdy to 6 on my list.
See, I mean, that's a big push down, but the consensus also has Mahomes at 4. So I'm with you on this one. I think that is a good, interesting one. If you're looking at where the big differences are, I will say, if you're going a little bit deeper, one thing I do really like that Jake has, cause I'm in on this, is Jake Browning came in at 16 on the list. And, you know, I got into this big thing with Bogman, because Bogman was so anti Jake Browning, and he was, you ever get that, Brandon, when your friend, someone is so confident that you're like, I hope the opposite happens because they won't listen. And he was so confident that the Bengals were going to lose and that Jake Browning was going to stink. And I'm like, I don't think so, man. And then they outright win and Browning looked amazing. I'm banking on it continuing. And he's one of my sleeper quarterbacks of the week against the Colts here. So Jake has got him at 16 and I'm into Browning.
Yeah, I think I have him at 18, but I'm Jake Browning. I'm a Washington Huskies guy. So
let's go.
So let's go to the running backs, because that'll lead right into my running back and Joe Mixon, who I have at 5 and Jake has at 15. So if you want, you want to talk about the top of the RB.
Yeah, let's give the top range here. Christian McCaffrey has the greatest matchup of all time with the Seahawks. So he's absolutely number one. Jake's number one. Zach Moss all the way up against the Bengals, who we're going to talk about here in a second, at three. Okay. Rashad White actually doesn't have the best matchup in the world. Number five. This is probably a big important one. Achan six. And I'm with Jake on this because the consensus ranks did not have Achan really high. Tony Pollard did make the top 10. Saquon at 10, I really like. But what you're alluding to, one of the biggest differences, this is one of the biggest differences we've seen in quite some time with you and Jake's ranks. You have Joe Mixon at five. He has him at 15. So you're talking locked RB1, and he's like mid RB2. So let's, and I think I'm going to agree with you closer on the Mixon side, because I'm going to have to guess this is going to also be a lot about how Jake Browning moves around. And he was these were his two targets, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. And then his third and fourth target were Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. And his fifth and sixth targets were Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. You get my point.
I get your point. Absolutely. Yeah. I was just reading an article about how, I think it was after week six, they decided to really just lean in more on the screen game to Joe Mixon. But if you look at the last two games, I'm trying to look it up here. I can't find my Joe Mixon game log. There it is. But yeah, just with Jake Browning, at quarterback the last 2 weeks, we've seen Mixon go over 40 receiving yards in both games. In fact, like I was mentioned, they've kind of opened up the screen game, and he's getting like 13 yards a screen now. I think in his last six games, he's had 11 screens, and he's had 140 yards on those screens. He gets other catches as well, but they have had a lot of success running that screenplay. And last week, seven targets to Mixon, and he caught six of them for 49. But the thing I like about that as well is he also had the 19 carries. So he's still as volume, you know, as much of a volume king as pretty much anybody in the league. And he has six touchdowns in his last six games. I just like the matchup's good against Indy. So I like the dual threat. I like the fact that he's getting touchdowns on the reg, and I like the matchup. And look at, I mean, Zach Moss at number three, and you're going to tell me he's that much better of a play than Joe Mixon? I don't think he is. In fact, I think Joe Mixon's a better play than Zach Moss.
What did you say the receptions are per game with Browning?
Well, he had six catches last week. I didn't say it per game. The week before that, he had just the two catches, but for 44 yards. And then the week before that, he had five for 31.
Ooh, 3.5 is plus money this week, and he's up to 21 yards receiving. Is
three
the
and a half
prop
plus
right now.
Money? Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's plus money right now. So let's make a little marker.
Daddy's making a note here. Okay.
Yep, I'm with you. That's actually one of my favorite things about when you and I do this show. When we get into this, I absolutely see Brandon make notes on it, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm like, you got me kind of excited about this Joe Mixon one. Yeah, and that was actually a debate I was having with someone. Like, I'm just not into T. Higgins because Browning really trusts Ja'Marr Chase. Like, the trust is there. And when this is how it's looked, and obviously progression and stuff can change, but it's been like, I look at Ja'Marr Chase. I don't have him. I dump it off to Joe Mixon. That's been the playbook. And it's like, he had one throw to Trent Irwin, and T. Higgins is kind of like pseudo involved. And I think that will be the continued formula. So I'm with you. I don't think I have him. I don't have Mixon quite as high as you do, but I'm in, let me see how high I have him, but I'm in the general range, not at like 15. Yeah. I've got Mixon at 12. So again, I might be closer to Jake, but I have feelings that are closer to what you're sending out here. Another one of those is an inverse player where Jake is higher on Travis Etienne, has him as an RB1. You've got him at 16. So was a lot of this, and is this a lot about, you know, Beathard at quarterback? And I think Beathard at quarterback makes defenses go, we're good, beat us with the pass, and they're going to stack boxes.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do also with Travis Etienne. You know, the last 5 weeks, he's played four games, one touchdown. He's been 56 rushing yards or less in all four of those games. I'm not sure that he was, you know, there was speculation when things were kind of at the beginning, when he had like the 9-carry game against San Francisco and stuff like that, that maybe he was harboring an injury or something, but he just hasn't been great over the last month. And now you get a very likely change at quarterback where, as you said, is not going to have the defenses worried too much about the passing game. You're also going on the road to Cleveland, so you're in a rough environment. I don't like the overall setup. I've dropped him to 16, where Jake has him at 12. It's the difference between a back end RB1 and an RB2. I'm not even really sure I love him as RB16. You look at his last 4 weeks, just on a per game average, he's like mid RB3. He's down a ways. So he hasn't just been, you know, and you're going to look back at this year, and so much of his years has been touchdown dependent. And so if you don't get in the end zone here, you're going to be struggling to get a whole lot of value out of him.
Yeah. And you know, Dearness Johnson is floating around. Like, they're not going to just let Etienne
revenge game.
Yeah. I love revenge narratives. I'm always here for them, but they're also not like Etienne just plow into the offensive line all day long. Like, they like to sprinkle in Johnson, and he's also taking a little bit of that pass game as well. So that's not to be like, oh, Dearness Johnson will make Etienne not as good. It's just like, no, the offense is going to make Etienne not as good, and there's only so much they're going to throw at him. This isn't like they don't seem to treat Travis Etienne like the Bucs treat Rashad White. It's like always Rashad White. It's passing, it's rushing, it's volume. Like, he's the guy. Etienne is getting spelled a little bit. Just a couple other in the RB2 range, if you're, you know, ruminating on some notes here. Eckler, we mentioned at 16, Derrick Henry down at 19, maybe due to the injuries. Elliott, the 20th RB. I will tell you, one of my fave picks of the week, Chuba Hubbard, he's got it 22. And I've seen everybody else is pretty lower on Chuba than I am. Jake, I didn't even realize ahead of time, is about the only person so far I've seen. Saints, I think, like, third most rushing touchdowns. Like, they're not the seventh most fantasy points to running backs. Like, this is a good spot. Like, Miles Sanders is done. He's over. And his consensus is 27. I have Chuba as an RB2 as well.
Yeah, I don't know, man, if you do. Miles, look, I think I'm 25, so I'm down a little bit, but I get it. I mean, I'm
Miles is cooked, but the Saints, mentally, it's like, it's a better defense, but they've been playing really poor as of late. Let's go over to the wide receivers here. Jake's wide receivers start at the tippy top. Obviously, Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb, I think they might be in like their own tier. Justin Jefferson coming back comes in at number 5. Mike Evans, who's been very good, at 8. I love DJ Moore this week. He has been.
I do too.
Dude, DJ Moore. I'm
very, very high. I have him at 6, I think, this week.
I've got him at 7. The two games prior to Justin Fields being knocked out, DJ Moore was an RB1. The two games since return.
Wide receiver one.
Yeah. Wide receiver. He's also been a wide. So 4 straight games with Justin Fields, he's been a wide receiver 1. And he's going up against Detroit, and it's like the 6th best cornerback wide receiver matchup. It's like phenomenal. So I love him. Both 49ers receivers also came in as wide receiver 1s for Jake at 11 and 12 respectively for Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. Your difference is somebody that Jake does not have as an RB or as a wide receiver 1 is Davante Adams. He put Davante Adams kind of deep into the wide receiver 2 territory. You've got him at the final, number 12, wide receiver 1 spot. So where's the confidence?
Yeah,
he is the volume play.
He's a volume play. 33 targets in the last 3 games, so an average of 11. He's had catch totals of 6, 7, and 5. It's been 73. He's averaging over 80 yards in that span, and he has a touchdown. But it was against the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Chiefs. And if you look at those are kind of all above average pass defenses. Minnesota this week been below average, at least for fantasy purposes. And, you know, in terms of fantasy points allowed, Minnesota has allowed the 12th most in half PPR. So, I love the way the volume has been going. I think this is a lighter matchup than he's seen in each of the last 3 games. And he has been pretty good in each of the last 3 games. I think he'll be even better this week in a better matchup. And, you know, Vegas is 4-2 at home. They typically play their best football at home. I like it indoors. And I just feel like he's a back end wide receiver 1 this week with that volume.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I mean, maybe it's just like my mental block. I have a hard time anytime not having Davante Adams up there, especially with the changes that team is kind of committed to. Like, Pierce just, right, they want to throw to him all day long. You know, Jacoby Myers might be a little bit more involved, but I'm with you on that. Garrett Wilson. This is one I struggle with, but I will tell you, I'm my tune has changed weirdly because Zach Wilson is back, but I really struggle with Garrett Wilson in general. You have him higher. You have him at 19. Jake has him at 24. So that's kind of the bigger discrepancy. Here's my number one problem that doesn't change no matter what. Stingley is on him. And it's a horrific matchup and lockdown type of stuff. Yeah, it's not a good matchup. It's not, well, no, from an overall perspective, if you look at the entire defense, it's a solid matchup, but Stingley specifically is like a lockdown corner. And I'm worried about Garrett Wilson getting shut down and that offense moving.
We had the same conversation about who was it last week. I said Courtland Sutton. So Courtland Sutton, you're like, I'm not so sure. And yeah, he was targeted seven times. He had just two catches, but he did have the 77 yards and a touchdown. But like Jacksonville the week before, who do you want? Christian Kirk or Calvin Ridley? Like, who do you think? I don't remember who Stingley was on. They both had 9 yards. One of them had a touchdown. Arizona. I don't know if you can really count on a number one on that team, but just go to the teams that have number ones that you would expect Stingley to shadow. Jamar Chase had 5 for 124 and a touchdown. Chris Olave, 7 catches for 96. Drake London, 6 catches for 78. So, like, I understand that Stingley's talented, but there's been a litany of you know, like, the clear number one receiving guys coming in and just having their normal game. So I'm not too worried about it. Garrett Wilson's such the, you know, standout passing target. Before Zach Wilson went out, like, he was on this roll of at least 7 catches and 80+ yards and 12+ targets, like 4 games in a row. And he gets a ton of targets. And I'm not too worried about Stingley. I think he's still going to get a lot of targets. I think he's going to be good enough. Does he get into the end zone? We'll see. But I think he's good enough for 5 to 6 catches and 80+ yards.
I mean, it is rated really poor on PFF. Like, it's below average. But to your point, you know, there has been some success. And I don't know if the Jets are going to be able to rely on Breece in this matchup either as far as the run game goes. So they might be having to pass a little bit more.
For a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like I said, it's crazy, but Zach does kind of open this up a little bit. Like, Zach is a better quarterback than Tim Boyle, and, you know, he knows how to get to the target. So I'm open to this one being right. I will tell you, I think I've had Garrett lower than both of you, so I might have a slight tick up. But it makes sense, because if Houston's scoring a bunch of points as well, then it's going to have the Jets with the ball a whole bunch. If we're looking at wide receiver twos, Nico Collins took kind of a smack from Jake, understandably. You want to talk about matchups, the real cornerback shutdown is Sauce Gardner. So I think that's why Nico moves down quite a bit. He comes in at 20. Puka Nacua, 21, for those out there that are wondering. That Rams situation, kind of dicey. It's also bad because it's Baltimore. Rashee Rice is another one that gets inside the top 24, which I'm kind of digging, because I love Rashee Rice, and he's the number one. And then I'm happy to see this, though I have him a couple notches higher. Jaden Reed comes in at 26 for Jake in that, like, wide receiver three, maybe flexi type of spot. That's almost a wide receiver two. Here's the note. He has Jaden Reed over Cooper Kupp this week. Could you stomach that?
I can. I just don't think Cooper Kupp is close to healthy or, like, even close to 100%. There's only one way to explain it. You know, he's just been kind of dogged by injuries all year long, but the game log don't lie at this point. It's been like a month and a half of him having just pretty woeful production. So I think you have to call a spade at this point.
Yeah, it's just an eye opener. I actually literally have this dilemma. We have our pentathlon DVR here at The Athletic. Bogman and I, we have to make a big move. This is the week. We got to make a big move. And our Superflex team has been good. Our three wide receivers we have, Brandon, are Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Courtland Sutton, actually five, Jaden Reed, and Drake London. And we are thinking about...
This is not what jumping, I would do.
But sitting Kupp in this situation.
Yeah, I think I would go Nacua, Sutton, and Reed.
That's what we currently. And then London as our flex. London.
Yeah, it's a good
match.
I do like the passing matchup for London, too.
I know. It's tough. And it's like, we're talking about a situation where it's like, oh, wait a minute. Are we going to have Kupp be the bottom guy out of this whole list?
This feels like you're just guaranteed to get one of your two that you said is one of them is going to have a really nice game. It just explodes. There's no way around that. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, Jake has London at 31. So he's the lowest of that tier of group, but, you know, to people's surprise, of those five wide receivers I just mentioned, Jaden Reed's number three on that list. So
And they're all probably really close together in that 20 to early 30 range.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you like for Jake, he's got London at 31, Cup at 27, Reed at 26. I mean, that's like a pretty, and Puka Nacua is 21. So four of those wideouts within 10 spots of each other is crazy. Yeah. If we're looking at tight ends, there are a lot of good options out there. Where are you going to get sleepy on tight ends?
Yeah, well, the higher shelf one would be Isaiah Likely, who's still not over 50% rostered in Yahoo leagues, and he's only 27% started right now. He's got a fantastic matchup against the Rams, and they I think third most fantasy points to the tight end position. I would say if you're going deeper, gonna watch Dalton Schultz injury, but Brevin Jordan could be an option, or even Tucker Kraft.
I was gonna suggest Brevin, so I'm with you on that one, especially if Schultz is out.
So those two would be some flyers. Tyler Conklin, always somebody to consider as well. It's kind of in that he lives on that bubble.
Yeah, be in the lookout. Maybe even Tanner Hudson is one of those if they decide to keep passing the ball in Cincinnati. So there you go. That's what the ranks look like. Jake's tight end ranks. You've got pretty much what you expect. Outliers that are interesting. Taysom Hill comes in at number 5. Evan Ingram would be, I think, a lot higher if it weren't the worst matchup for tight ends this week. I mean, Evan, like C.J. Beathard, if he's a quarterback, he really liked to throw down and like into the slot. But Evan Ingram can play in that role, but it's just, it's a really bad matchup against Chicago, he put him at 9.
You mean against Cleveland?
Cleveland. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I said Cleveland.
Just start Evan Ingram or Isaiah Likely.
I personally would start Ingram regardless of the bad matchup. I have a feeling Evan Ingram picks up some of the Kirk slack, even if it's not a great, great matchup. That's one of those where it's like, okay, you know, the analytics can tell me what this is. I'm not going to buy it. And I'm going to go, like, I'm going to have Evan Ingram a bit higher regardless of the matchup this week, because I just think they're going to force the ball to him a lot.
That was my thinking as well. And that's how I have that laid out. I do think there's going to be some slack that he picks up with Kirk. I'm completely in agreement with you.
Well, there you go. You guys can figure out where you agree, where you disagree. If you go over to The Athletic right now, you can check out the article for the week 14 ranks. You'll also get, if you sign up or you have a subscription, you'll have the ranks for the rest of the weeks as they go on. Jake, just on time with waivers and with the ranks every single week. So make sure you are not behind it. And these are updated as we go. So sometimes like literally like we look and then a couple hours later, there's another update. Jake is working on these all the time. So go to All In Kid. You want to find that. You can find us. Is It The Welsh and Brandon Funston. That is the Twitter handle. Both of ours. And we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the action. And we will be back next week for the fantasy playoffs. This is it. Get those best lineups in, and we'll be talking playoffs with you next week. For Brandon, I'm Welsh. Thanks for hanging out with us right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.